Good morning, Scrawl Radio. This is Scrawl Radio on Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection. And for this hour, your connection to the world of writing in peer writing tutoring. We are brought to you by the University Center for Writing-Based Learning, also known as the UQWBL. And you can check us out at depaul.edu/writing. We've got finals week coming up, so get your appointments in soon. We're going to start getting busy. As always, I am Ryan McQueenie, joined by the lovely, wonderful, talented Kate Harrington.
Hey.
Kate, how are you doing this week?
I'm going to steal your word and say wonderful.
But I said the word.
Yeah, but I realized I hadn't thought of a word, so wonderful.
Kate, we do this every week. I give you 1 week to think of a way to be better than good.
Okay, I'll start thinking now about next week's.
Good. Well, we have a show to do, so don't think too...
Okay.
Don't get distracted.
Don't worry, I got it.
Okay. You're fine now? Or would you use the word
no,
fine?
No, I'm wonderful still.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, I'm happy to be back. This is my favorite hour of the week. Have I ever told you that, Kate?
No. That's so sweet.
Good.
It's probably my favorite hour.
No, I'm a sweet guy. People tell me that a lot.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't like the way you're looking at me right now. Okay. Kate, we have another Kate on the show with us today.
Yeah.
Kate Flom-Derrick. We also have Matthew Pearson on the show. Both employees of the Writing Center. I'll let you guys do your little introduce yourselves thing. But they're on the show because they have families. And we're talking about being a parent and being in a family.
I mean, everyone kind of has a family. Their parents is the distinction here.
Okay. All right. That's true. That's a good point. But like, I'm saying like,
they're the
you know what I meant,
family.
Kate. You know what I meant. They have significant others, and they have kids, and they have things I don't have.
Right. Is what I'm saying.
So, hi, Matthew. Hi, Kate. How are you guys doing this morning?
Hi. Doing great.
Would you
wonderful.
Say,
sweet.
Right? Okay. Would you say great is better than wonderful? Or would?
Oh, no. Wonderful is definitely better.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair. Matthew, how are you doing?
Pretty good. Thanks for asking. Lot going on.
Yeah.
Some of it family related. So
stress.
Yeah, there's some stress, but there's also a lot of love. So good combination.
Perfect. Speaking of love, something that everyone loves is the word of the day. Word of the day is America's favorite game show segment, where we try to guess the meaning of a rare or uncommon word. Kate, why do we do it?
Because words are the currency of life, Ryan.
Mm-mm-mm. Music to my ears. This week's word is mund. Probably the easiest pronunciation that we've had.
Yeah.
M-U-N-D.
What kind of word is it?
It's a noun.
A noun?
And it's Germanic in origin.
Okay. I don't even know why we say the origin, because that never helps me. Because
every year I watch the Scripps National Spelling Bee and they say it. Even though we're not trying to spell the words.
Okay. Sometimes it could totally be helpful, right? You know, like if it's French versus...
We had a French word.
We
had a French word this quarter. And
I just never know them anyways.
Who was on for the French word? Someone was like...
Avery.
Avery was like, I took French in high school. I know what that word means. And we were like... Well,
I took German and I don't know what mund
yeah,
means.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I'm in the same boat. Well, but actually, I think I know what it means. I think it means it's like the beginning, like Monday.
Oh.
I'm kidding.
That's actually, for an early guess, not the worst early guess we've ever had.
Yeah.
That's for certain.
But it's not a verb. It's a noun, right?
Yeah.
The mund.
The beginning. Like yeah. The actual beginning.
Like, how's the paper coming? Well, I'm at the mund.
I'm at the mund.
Yeah.
An abbreviation for Monday, yeah.
I think that's the definition. That's going to be my guess at the end. So, but please guess. Speaking of guessing, we've already got some early guests on the show. Normally we're very shy with the early guesses because we don't want to be too wrong. But text us, please, at 773-325-7341 or tweet at us on hashtag Scrawl Radio or connect with us at Scrawl Radio on LinkedIn.
We do not have a LinkedIn,
No,
do
we don't have a LinkedIn. LinkedIn's for people, not things.
Radios.
Not radio shows. Okay. Harsh transition to actual show topic, which is what we do every week. I mentioned you guys being parents, and I mentioned this show being about that. But, like, what? This This show's about peer writing tutoring, as you guys know. So how come this makes sense?
Well, there's a lot of reasons. One of the main reasons why I think it's relevant is this is something I thought before. There was an article about the connection between being a family member or just being a person in peer tutoring. But a few years ago, an article came out by Bradley Hughes, Paula Gillespie, and Harvey Kale.
Wait, I just want to pause right there before we get into it.
Yeah.
This is the first time on Scroll Radio I think we've had someone pull out an academic article, drop the author's names.
Yeah.
We got to start.
That's what I'm here for.
You're coming very prepared, and we appreciate
that. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Writing Center Journal, Volume 30, Number 2, 2010. I know most of our audience knows that already.
Yes, sure. But
just in case you want to look it up. So
cite your sources.
Yeah. So it was called What They Take With Them, and it was a cool article because it studied what peer tutors learn on the job. So much research about peer writing tutoring focuses on what writers learn, understandably. That's our goal, is to help writers. But this article focused on what peer tutors learn, what you all learn by being peer tutors while you work as a peer tutor. And one of the things they found among many findings, they had like seven main findings from interviews and online surveys of a bunch of former peer writing tutors, writing center tutors, writing fellows, et cetera. One of the things they found is that it gives you skills, values, and abilities in families and relationships. Mm. That somebody, one of the quotes from a focus group was, tutoring is like communication boot camp. So
true.
There was also a funny, slightly gendered line in this findings that like men were like, oh, I'm better listener. Because, you know, the implicit idea is we had to become better listeners because we're usually blowhards. But yeah, so I think a lot of it is about
men.
Compassion and good communication. And yeah, what do you think, Kate?
I agree completely that communication and collaboration also is a huge part about both tutoring and parenting. You know, my experience with my daughter, we can't really talk with her, but my husband and I do a lot of collaborating together. Matthew and I have talked about setting agendas and things like that with as co-parents, and then also to kind of get our daughter used to hearing about working with us as a family. And so I think that's really similar to what we do at the Writing Center when we work with writers. Is we sit down, we talk about what we're going to do, and then hopefully we accomplish that.
Do it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you guys came prepared because I thought your kids are just cute and I thought we were just going to...
They are very cute.
Indeed. Indeed.
Pass on pictures.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that's one of the things I like best about being a parent, maybe different than being a peer tutor, is that I can completely say, oh yeah, my kid is cute. Whereas we don't really, it's not mm-hmm. really appropriate to talk about that.
You might get dean of students. Sonia,
yeah,
if you do
true,
that.
Exactly.
True,
I mean,
true.
It's not like I've ever wanted to, just to be clear.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Of course. Yeah. But okay, let's take a step back. Like, speaking of your kids being cute, tell me about your family. What's your family look like?
So my family is currently just starting out. My husband and I had our daughter, Gwen,
beautiful
almost
name.
Yeah, adorable.
Yeah, we like it. Almost 8 months ago. So she's a little one. She's sitting up and saying dada. It's her first word. So she waves sometimes if she feels like it. that's about what she does. And we have two cats as well.
What are their names?
Bunny and Pooh.
Oh, cute.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I'm married to a woman named Marjorie, and we have a almost 4-year-old daughter named Eliza, but we call her Zizi. She's super interesting, lovely person. You know, not without some hassles.
yes,
but
I've heard kids can be hassles sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, and we have a dog named Fiona. We adopted a dog.
What kind of dog?
She's like a terrier spaniel mix, but she was absolutely the gateway drug to a human baby, especially for my wife. My wife was always a little bit ambivalent, but then having Fiona and realizing, like Kate was saying earlier, like realizing that we could do a really good job of collaborating and sharing responsibility. I mean, it was legitimately important. And I don't know if it really would have been a make or break Like we may have had a human baby without having a dog. It was certainly the case that some of the concerns about just the logistics and responsibility we worked through with a dog. Yeah.
I had got a little practice.
Mm-hmm.
It can be terrifying, you know, similar to what I think a lot of tutors feel on that first day of, you know, being on their own in the writing mm-hmm. center, like that idea of you get that pregnancy test back or whatever. And it's like, oh my gosh, I'm actually going to do this. This is real. Am I going to make it? But then you get into it and it works. And, you know, I feel like you do you and
you figure out your own strategies.
Yeah. Everybody has their own strategies and, you know, hopefully you're happy with what you're doing. And, I think
that's a really good point. I mean, one of the things I've often said, especially to new tutors when I work to train them at all, is the thing I love about tutoring is that I am never like somewhere else mentally. I'm so present without even trying. It's not sure. Like I'm pushing myself like, okay, make sure you listen. It's just so such a flow experience for me that I love it. And similar is true with parenting. I mean, there are a couple times where, you know, like the first or second or third night at home after being in the maternity ward for a few days after delivering, you know, after my wife delivered our daughter, then maybe or a couple times where you'd be like, oh my God, I have a human life here.
But really
not that much. Mostly it's like next thing up. Okay. Feed. Okay. Nap. Okay. Change diaper, you know, change clothes, whatever. So, that's, I think another way in which I didn't really realize how similar they were, but that immersive experience is one of the things I love about both tutoring and parenting.
Yeah, interesting. So what is like a day in the life of both Pearson and Flom Derek families look like?
A day in my life, my husband and I are able to switch off our work schedules so that we're both able to be home with our daughter. So I tend to be home during the mornings, and Gwen and I get up usually around 8:30 or 9 o'clock. She likes to play by herself for a little bit while I make coffee and drink coffee, which is very important. She's not the greatest sleeper, so you know, always need caffeine. And then we tend to spend most of our mornings playing. And like I said, she does a lot more now, which is really exciting. And then her dad comes home and we get to spend about half an hour, 45 minutes together as a family. And then I got to go to work and come and hang out with you guys. And
good trade-off.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. You guys are my home away from home, my other family. So, and then I get to go home right in time for bed. We have our bedtime routine where we do a bath and then we read books together. And then hopefully she goes to sleep, and she usually sleeps for about 3 hours solid and then wakes up for the rest of the night. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, our routine differs whether our daughter's going into daycare for the day or whether we're with her. But on a day where she's going to daycare, it's really just about getting her up, taking her to daycare, and then picking her up later in the day. And she actually really likes school. She's a social kid. She's got a bunch of cool friends in class, so that's neat. And then a day where we spend it together, we do find that having something to do is pretty important. So there's a couple different classes she takes. Like, for example, on Thursdays, I take her to a class called Imaginastics, which is like gymnastics with imagination or something combined with it. They don't let you see the class, which is actually an interesting rite of passage as a parent. Like, up until age 3 or so, you have to go with the kids to all these classes, like whether they're gymnastics or swimming or whatever. And then after 3, it's like, you know, you don't go with them anymore, which is nice. But this one you can't see in, so I have no idea what they're doing, but she loves it. And I think at the very last class, like, they do some sort of performance, so we're excited about that. And then we also do a lot of family swim. She's you know, into that, and that's a fun experience. And then we do, you know, we have like meals throughout the day. And then to Kate's earlier point about agenda setting, we have a similar bedtime routine. I mean, there's so much stuff written about how to be a good parent, and I mean, in a way it's good, but in a way it's also overwhelming.
Yeah.
But one of the things my wife and I have tried to do is only go to like one or two sources of advice, because there can be conflicting pieces of advice.
Yeah.
But we do have like literally like a chart written down for the bedtime routine, because we've heard that when your kid gets a little older, having them play a role in like checking off like, okay, we did special time, we did like teeth brushing. We did books reading and all that kind of stuff. But
That's actually something I'm curious about. This whole literature of parenting seems like there's a million books, and it seems like every one of them is different and has different opinions. So how much did you buy into what other people were saying?
We didn't.
In preparation.
Yeah. For being a parent. Well, we knew that some approaches to parenting were associated with anti-vaccination movement. So we were not down with that. We were pro-vaccination because, like, we believe in the social contract and all that. And our kids, you know, not like we don't want to have her be a carrier for measles or mumps or something bad.
Looking at you, Kristen Cavallari and Jay Cutler.
So there's a movement called attachment parenting, and one of the advocates of that was an anti-vaxxer guy. So I mean, we didn't really attach to one particular approach to parenting. We found a book by this guy who a friend of ours gave us the heads up about, and his book just seemed like pretty like chilled out. It was like, look, don't worry so much about nap. Your kid's going to sleep when they're tired. So if they sleep in a, if they sleep in a stroller or they sleep, you know, during nap time, whatever, like they'll be good. And there was something about that that was just reassuring, and anything that was like over worrying was a little bit of a red flag to us.
Yeah.
Let's bring it back to the writing center real quick. There's no one writing process, right? Absolutely the same with parenting.
Preach.
And that's why there's so much literature about it. It's like your kid is so different from the kid next door or the, you know, wherever else. So there needs to be all of these different options available, and it's hard and overwhelming to find the option that fits you, but you kind of have to follow your instincts a little bit if you are looking for that reassurance. For us, we looked at two different books. We kind of went with the Ferber method, and it worked for a while. But the other thing about kids is that they change. The Ferber method is where you kind of let them cry it out.
Sleep training.
Yeah. Oh, it's brutal.
That's a huge thing.
It worked for us at first. And then our child went through a couple developmental changes, which disrupts their sleeping patterns, which, you know, resets everything. So now we're trying out different things. And, you know, you have
adapting
to,
as you go.
Have to adapt. You have to be flexible. You have to listen to your kid. You have to, like, really. And that's also something that you learn with parenting is you learn your kid.
Well, I have learned a lot.
Like
important life lessons in this first 10 minutes or so.
I like the idea of the over worrying is not where you should look for parenting advice. Because I feel like if I was a parent, that would be me, is the over worrier. And I don't need that. I don't need to read more about that.
Okay, well, we're going to get back to this conversation, and we're going to add just several more layers to it. But first, I want to take a quick break. Before we head into the break, though, obviously, want to remind everyone, we have word of the day today. Mund is a noun from Germanic origin, and we will be getting back to Mund throughout the course of the episode. But on the first break, Matthew, you picked today's song because your
ZZ loves Passion Pit. I told her that the lead singer songwriter's name was Michael, so she calls it Michael. She's like, let's listen to Michael. And she doesn't mean Michael Jackson. She means Passion Pit. And
she loves
Little Secrets because the kids sing the chorus. We actually were able to find a video of Michael. I can't remember his last name. It's like a Greek name of Michael, like having the, like in the studio conducting the kids singing this chorus. They're from PS22 in New York City. They're an amazing chorus, and there's like hundreds of videos of them with like pop stars singing in their school. It just seems like the most joyful, beautiful thing ever. Yeah. He was so charming leading them, and they were amazing. So
love it.
Very like uplifting.
I love it. So yeah, we were trying to figure out a song that connects with the kids, and Matthew was like, Passion Pit. I was like, sold. We'll do Passion Pit. So this is Passion Pit, Little Secrets, and we will see you on the other side.
I should go. Looking for a place to warm up this winter? Come to Lionhead Pub near Lincoln and Belden. With no cover charge and daily food and drink specials, it's a guaranteed good time. Feeling thirsty? On Thursdays, we have live country music, free pool, and darts. Bring your friends and watch your favorite Chicago teams on our dozens of plasma screen TVs. Check us out online at www.lionheadpub.com. Lionhead Pub, where Lincoln Park roars.